We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
This particular month of December, this focuses around, as you see, it's called the Arrival of the King. Your bulletin says that on the front. And we're going to be looking at the first two chapters in the book of Luke. The expectation and anticipation of the arrival of the King, as we know who is Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look at the book of Luke. And today our message is entitled, Responding to the Promise. In the first chapter of the book of Luke, there's two stories that are told. It's the story of Zechariah, who has a visitation from an angel, and the story of Mary, who also has a visitation from an angel. And they were told specific things and were given specific promises. But their response to the promise was different. So my question today, as I will, I'll be making several questions. I like to ask the questions really to get you to thinking and to challenge you to look at that question and apply it to your life. The question today, the first one is, do you believe that God makes promises? Do you believe today that God still makes promises? Has God made a promise to you? Has God given you a promise? Thank you. Talk about promise for a second, right? I think the reason you're not, everybody says, oh yeah, God's given me a promise. Oh yeah, there's a promise. I don't think we understand in our day and age about a promise. What happened to the day when we were able to come up with a deal with someone or barter with someone or an agreement of help or whatever, and all we had to do was give our word and shake a hand and it was done? Those days don't happen anymore, do they? We have to have contracts with all of these sections, and only a lawyer can actually read and understand. And Lord, I thank you for our attorneys to help us understand, right? We've got these legal documents. And even then, if you buy something, it says, oh, there's a money back guarantee. I guarantee you there's 30 loopholes you got to jump through before you can get your money back. Unless you're Maria. Right? So we live in a culture today that I think has forgotten about promises. And when someone gives their word, how do we respond? So I want to take a look at these two stories here, because I think as we get done reading these two stories, I think we're going to see that God wants to use you and I for things, great things in this world and in our life. And I think sometimes we don't say yes to that because we're afraid. And I think we don't believe it's going to happen. So let's look at these two stories here in the book of Luke. We're going to start with chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm going to read it, and I will stop along the way. Just to kind of bring out some things, because I really believe that God's word can come alive in our hearts and as we read it. And that's what I want to do. My job as a pastor is to read the word and to help it come to life so we can apply it to our life and watch what God can do in and through us. So let's begin to read here in verse 5. It says, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, the division of that word, Abihai. I think that's how you pronounce it, but you want to pronounce it, go right ahead. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. This wasn't the Aaron of Moses' time. This was a different Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. Notice here what this word says, that they were walking blamelessly in the commandments of the Lord. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were really good people. How many of you feel like you're really good people? Yes, we're all good people. Amen. Lift your hands up there. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now, what's interesting here that when during this time in the nation of Israel, when a woman was barren and couldn't have kids, it was really looked at as being a curse. So here are two good people. He is a priest. Zechariah is a priest. But yet his wife cannot have children. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the customs of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So here he is doing his job, doing what he's supposed to do, and an angel appeared to him. Has an angel ever appeared to you? Have you ever had an angel appear to you? I mean, look, I've only had one angel appear to me. My wife. But I have not had another angel appear to me since. How many of you? See, men, you should have said, yes, I had an angel appear. Steve's like, yes, yes. You're going to laugh today. You're going to laugh, right? We're going to have a good time in church. So the angel appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This is what the angel was telling him. He's telling him this. He says, "Zechariah, I know I have heard you pray. God has heard you praying for a son, for a child." He says, "I'm going to give you one." The God says, "I'm going to give you a son. And you're going to name him John." And then he begins to tell him what John is going to do. And he's quoting out of the book of Malachi. The prophecy in the last book of Malachi that says this, it says is that the children, and the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom and the just, and to make ready the Lord. In other words, he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. This is how Zechariah responded. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Notice he did not call his wife old. Men, underline that. And the angel answered him and says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to you to speak and to bring you this good news. And behold," he says, "you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words." How can this be? I'm old. My wife is advanced in years. She's barren. We can't have kids. How can this be? What was Zechariah really saying? He was saying this. He says, "I don't know if this is possible. I need proof. I need proof of this is going to happen. Because if I look at the circumstances around me, if I begin to weigh and measure all the circumstances around me right now, there is no way that this can happen unless it were a miracle of God." And the angel says, "Hey, don't you know who I am? Okay, I've appeared to you here. God has heard your prayer. Listen, I'm Gabriel." Now listen, this wasn't just some angel. This was Gabriel, the angel, the messenger of God. This was Gabriel. He said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Why can't you believe what I'm saying?" And then he tells him this. He says, "Well, since you're not believing me, I'm just going to shut your mouth up." Why do you think that God, the angel, closed Zechariah's mouth? Was it because he wanted to punish him? No. I don't think that he was trying to punish Zechariah for not believing the words were going to come true. I think it was a form of discipline to say, "Look, you're not believing me." Now look, this is who Zechariah was. Zechariah knew the Old Testament. He knew the words that were written. He knew the law. He was a priest. He was chosen to go into the temple and light the incense. He wasn't just some, you know, guy. He was a pastor, put it to you that way. He was an elder in the church. Now let me be honest for a second. I preached that message on God's going to make a way, right? I preached it. But when it came time to believe it, I had a hard time. Why is it that pastors have a hard time sometimes believing? And this is what God says. He says, "Yeah, okay, I'm going to keep showing you, son. I'm going to keep showing you. I'm going to make a way where there seems no way, because you've got to have the faith. You've got to be able to stand in front of your church. You need to tell them that God's going to make a way. God's making a way." So what happened here is Zechariah's mouth was closed. God's saying this, he says, "I'm just going to teach you a little lesson here." Discipline, right? Do we know the root word even leads to discipleship? Disciple, I'm going to teach you. Here's a teaching moment, Zechariah. So I'm going to close your mouth up. Here's the other reason I think he closed his mouth up. I think the other reason was he was a very influential person. I believe he's very influential. What if he walked around talking doubt? What if what came out of his mouth was doubt and negativity? Like, well, an angel came to me and told me this, but I don't believe it's going to happen. How much influence is he going to have? So the Lord says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close your mouth. You're not going to be able to speak because I want you to understand that you're going to learn a lesson here because my words are coming true. You're going to learn and you're not going to share doubt. So that's why he was made silent. Here's another question I want to share with you today. Do you believe God can do amazing things for everybody else but you? Because this is sort of the attitude that Zechariah had. He's like, I don't believe God can do this for me. How many of us find ourselves that way? We hear of a miracle. We watch God move upon somebody's life. We watch things happen. We stand back and say, well, God's always doing it for everybody else. But he never does it for me. Be careful. So you might close your mouth up. Some of you are saying, well, that might be okay, Pastor. Let's look at this next story here. It's the story of Mary. And we're going to start in verse number 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. If you've got a pencil, underline that in your Bible. If you highlight that in your smartphone, Bible reader, whatever you use, or write it on your bulletin, I want you to write that down. He says, greetings. The next word to come out of his mouth was, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Where does Mary's mind go? What is he trying to say? What's going on? Now, I'm not really quite understanding what this angel is saying. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There's a second time. Underline that in your Bible. So the second time the angel has told Mary that she has found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? I want you to notice something here, how her response was a little bit different than Zechariah's, right? They're both looking at their circumstances. Mary's not looking at the point and says, well, I know this can happen. How is it going to happen since I'm a virgin? How are you going to give me this son? How are you going to make this happen? So her heart now is beginning to say, how's it going to happen? You say you found favor in me, but what's going to happen? Let's continue reading. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, a child will be born and will be called Holy, the Son of God. Mary's response was much differently than what Zechariah's response was. And I love these words that the angel says when he says this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. See, really what Mary was looking for was she was looking for some details. She was looking for what's going to happen next. She's saying this, you know, hey, I'm engaged to a man, but we're not married yet. See, in that custom, really what happened was, is that when they were betrothed to each other, they were really married in the eyes of the family and the Lord, but they spent a year apart into their own families. And after a year, they would come together. So in the society now, Mary, she's been betrothed to Joseph, so really she was married, but yet they weren't together. So what's going to happen now if she is pregnant with a child? What are they going to say? What are they going to call her? What? An adulteress, right? That's a tough word. But I love these words that the angel says to her. It says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is what he's saying. He's saying this. He says, I will give you the ability on the inside to believe it and the power on the outside to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit was going to do. That's what the angel was telling him. Those are words for you and me. Because there's many times when we look at the promise that God has given us, we look at the circumstances that we're faced with. And the Holy Spirit and God is saying this to us. He says, I'm going to give you the ability on the inside to believe it. That's what has to happen first. And then once I give you the ability to believe it and you grab a hold to it, then I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to overshadow you, to give you the ability to do it. Basically, what he's saying and what she's believing and what she's hearing now is that nothing is impossible with God. Let me say that again, because I don't think we grasp of what that means. Nothing is impossible with God. So if I were to ask you as a church, including myself, if I would say, do you believe that anything is impossible with God? What's your response going to be? No, nothing's impossible with God, Pastor. Nothing's impossible with God. So on the outside, we're doing this. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. But on the inside, we're saying, I'm not real sure. I haven't quite seen it happen yet. Right? Is that you? That's me. I'm preaching to Pastor Shannon today. That's been me a lot of times in my life. On the outside, we're singing the song, nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. And we say nothing is impossible with God, but are we believing that in our hearts? And I believe Mary got it. She began to believe it. See, we'll never be able to do what God wants us to do until we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. See, Mary did something. She had settled something in her heart as a teenager. Here's this man, Zechariah, who's older in age, who's a priest, who's walking in this way. He's a priest, he's a pastor, he's a leader, he's an elder, right? He's having a hard time believing it, such that the angel has to close his mouth. And here's Mary, a teenager, saying, okay, so be it. Mary found favor with God. So, this is a little funny here, but if I were Mary, this is how I might have responded to that particular promise of God. Okay, so angel, you're coming to me saying that I'm going to be the mother of God. So I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God. Yeah, right. Okay, great, great. Right? And this is going to happen with my husband, who I don't know yet. Right? So we're not together yet, and this is all going to happen. So, okay, Gabriel, that sounds great. Thank you for that information. I tell you what, I believe you. I'll see you at Christmas. That's what he's saying. So as I look at these two stories, here's two promises that were given to two people, and they responded completely different. And I believe that God's looking for two type of people. There's two groups of people God's looking to use and give those promises to. They may seem simple, but let me give them to you this way. Here's the first one. It's people who believe in Him. Like I just asked you, if we were to say, do you believe that anything is impossible with God? We're going to say on the outside, no, I don't believe anything is impossible. I believe all things are possible with God, but how are we responding on the inside? Zechariah never had that response on the inside, but Mary did. Something changed in her heart, and she says, so be it. Let it be. I want to briefly tell you that as we go into 2015, we're still going to face a lot of obstacles as a church. Just the way it is, right? It might happen in January. It might happen in February. But God's going to make a way. He's always made a way. He's going to continue to make a way. God has placed a vision in my heart for this community. And I've prayed about it, and I've looked at it, and I've talked to other pastors, but He's placed a vision inside of here. And come January, we're going to talk about it more in detail. God has us meeting here in this facility, but God wants us to anchor ourselves in the community. Because we come together, we serve together, we worship together on Sundays, and when we ask you guys to sign up for life groups, to meet together, and build the community of the church. And you begin to do that. Our youth ministry is beginning to meet. Matt and Missy, thank you for being in service today. Wave at everybody. Our children's ministers right here, right? They finally got out. They've been serving for 3 months straight back there. They were able to build the team. Our children's ministry is awesome. Right? Your kids are learning great things back there. They've done an outstanding job. Amen. You guys are doing an outstanding job. And so this is what God is telling us now. He says, now you've got your arms wrapped around the community of the church. You're doing what I've called you to do. Now I need you to get your arms wrapped around the community at large. So we're going to be looking for a spot somewhere in town. And I want you to begin to pray, because I believe God's given me a vision of how we can reach the community. How we can be the church Monday through Friday. And we don't have to have a church building with stained glass windows and a steeple to be able to do it. All we got to do is what Jesus did. He said He went from town to town. And He saw that there was a need. He began to meet the need. The apostles did the same thing. They went from town to town. They saw a need. And they believed that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. The disciples believed it. And they did it. And the community was reached. And people's needs were met. And as people's needs were met, they began to ask the question, why are you doing this? Because God told me to love Him with everything that's within me. He also told me to love my neighbor as myself. That's our commandment. To pursue the lost. And the way you pursue them and the way you catch the lost for Jesus Christ is you find the need and you begin to meet that need and let God do the rest. But you've got to be able to be willing to make that step. So it looks impossible, right, for us to not have a church building but trying to find some spot, lease a space to really do ministry out of. It doesn't quite make sense as a church, does it? It takes faith to believe. And God says, are you going to believe that if I'm giving you this promise, I'm giving you this vision, that I'm going to make it work? We're going to talk about that more in January. You're looking at me like, oh, I don't know about that there, Pastor. There was another story of a man and a woman who was promised a child. And we read this in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, says, in hope he believed, talking about Abraham, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith, Romans tells us, when he considered his own body, when he looked around him and he considered everything around him, all the circumstances that were around him, right? He should not have had hope. He should not have believed. But Paul is writing this letter to the Roman church and he's saying, but he did. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, right? All of us who are 40 years and older, right? We're like, oh, I guess we're headed that way. No, hey, have strength in that age. That's a good age, you young folks. We're in the prime of our life. Amen, Pastor. Okay, that's not the only one. Since he was about 100 years old, so he was much older than we are. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith and gave glory to God, fully conceived that God was able to do what he had promised. That's the story for you and me. Believe that God's going to do what he's promised for us as individuals and for us as a church. My question, here's another question, is are you fully persuaded that God will do what he has promised you? Here's a second group of people. The people who are willing. Mary was willing, but she didn't know what she was saying to. Think about this for a second, okay? So we'll sort of bring this to a close, but consider Mary for a second. She was willing against all odds. She believed and she was willing. She did not know what she was saying yes to. She did not know that she was going to become pregnant before she was married to her husband. And she did not know that she was going to have to get the ridicule and the shame from her family and her friends and being called an adulteress. None of us want to be called those names, do we? She didn't know that she was saying yes to that. She didn't know that she was saying yes to the fact that at 9 months pregnant, she was going to have to ride a colt. And the Bible doesn't say that she rode a donkey or a colt. It says she had to travel 3 days to Bethlehem. At 9 months pregnant. Now, I believe Joseph was a pretty good guy. Maybe got her a colt or a donkey to ride on, right? We want to believe that. But at 9 months pregnant, she had to ride from down 3 days journey to Bethlehem. She didn't know at 9 months pregnant that she was going to have to deliver this baby somewhere outside. It doesn't say that there was a barn. The Bible doesn't say that. It just said there was no room in the inn and that she was going to give birth in a manger. She didn't know that she was saying yes to that. She didn't say she was going to have this knuckleheaded husband over here who's going to have to deliver this baby and didn't know nothing that was going on. He was probably clueless. She had no family, no friends. Her mother wasn't there with her, ladies, and she was going to give birth to this baby. She didn't know that many years later she was going to get up in the middle of the night and flee for her life to Egypt because this king decided he wanted to kill all 2-year-old boys. She didn't know what she was saying yes to, but her heart was willing. And she endured that and she was blessed. And this is why God said to her, this is why the angel said, this is, you are favored. I have found favor in you because I already see into your heart that you believe and you are willing to do what I've asked you to do and fulfill the promise that was given to you. See, many of us don't know. We don't know what that journey may hold. We don't know sometimes what we're saying yes to. But this is what God is saying. He says, I've given you a promise. So how many of you have a promise? How many of you have God given you a promise? He's called you in ministry to do something. He's called you to work with our teenagers. He's given you promises. We're going to bring their hearts to Christ. You're going to minister to them. He said, well, I don't know what it's going to look like, God. That's okay. Believe and be willing to do it. As a church, God says, I'm going to plant you in Webster, and I want you to reach the community. I want you to pursue the lost. And here's what God told me. This is the promise that God told me. This is a strange one, too. He says, it's going to look different than any other church. It's going to look different. The world doesn't need more churches that look the same. What the church needs, what the world needs, go ahead, the world needs is a church that's willing to get up off its feet, go into the community and say, hey, we want to help meet the needs of the community. Why? Because God says that I'm to love Him and I'm to love my neighbor as I myself. That's what God's called us to do. Pastor, you sound pretty angry. I'm not. I'm passionate. Because look, He had to do something in me. Because I've been in ministry for 25 years and I've always tried to make it as comfortable as possible for people to come to church. As an associate pastor, my job was to make it comfortable. That you would have a great experience. God says it's not about that anymore. It's about coming together and believing that you're going to change the world. Listen to this. If 100 of us would come together, I believe this, if 100 of us would come together and get into our hearts that we believe that God's going to fulfill the promises and do what He's called us to do, and we're willing to do it, it will make a dent in the universe. You believe that? The Bible says that one can put 100 to flight, 1,000, 10,000, two can put 10,000 to flight, right? What it means is there's strength when we come together and believe in what God's called us to do. So I want to encourage you today. I know God's given you a promise, and I want you to believe it, just like Mary. Mary believed it. She didn't know what she was saying yes to. But she was willing and she believed. So we know that God is able. The question is, are we willing to believe that? Amen. I want to pray for you this morning. Because I know that many of you, Jonathan, you can come. I know that many of you have probably said, Lord, I just don't really know what's next. I know you've told me what you wanted me to do. I know you've given me some promises and some dreams and some call, called me. I know, but I just don't know how it's going to happen. I want to pray for you today. But my challenge to you is I want you to go back and read this story. And how fitting this time of year in Christmas as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. What if Mary had said, no, it's not going to be me. I don't think so. What if she had said that? God probably would have had a different plan, right? I don't think the story would have been as beautiful as it is here. But I want to challenge you to go back and read that story again. Put yourself at the place where she was. And if you put yourself in that place and in those circumstances that were surrounding her life when the angel came and gave her that promise, it may not make your situation look so bad. You might look at your situation and say, yeah, I believe. I do believe. So I want to pray for you this morning that you would believe in the face of all odds and that you would have a willing heart. If God's calling you to a place of ministry that may seem impossible, have a willing heart. Would you stand this morning as I pray for you as we end this service today? You know, trusting God means sometimes we have to lay down our own ambitions, our own ideas, and say that God, I'm here to cooperate with you. Does that sound familiar? To cooperate because God wants to do something here on this earth. And He wants you to cooperate with what He's doing in your life. Lord, we thank You, Father, that even this time of year as we are so busy with Christmas, the decorations and the gifts and parties and the food. Lord, you know I like the food. But Lord, let us not forget that You've called each one of us and given promises to us, Lord, that You want to fulfill. As we look at this story, God, of how You came down to this earth to save all of humanity with Your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank You that Mary was willing to say, yes, Lord, let it be. So be it. That her heart was believing that the promise would come to pass, and she was willing, God, to let it happen through her life.